Hi guys, this is the last set presenting the Everyday Hour with Jack and Joe. Today's topic, we were just talking about what it's like being a uni student in 2020. Now, Joe and I have the unique experience of graduating as bachelor's students in 2020 during coronavirus, which has all been a pretty unique experience. And I know Joe's already graduated this semester, I'll be doing the following semester. What's your take, Joe?
Well, it's been definitely a really interesting semester. Well, for starters, it was definitely actually still of a challenge for me because of the fact that everything was moved online. And personally, myself, I'm one of those people who like has to study in a room,
Me too.
like so, and just like be there in the lecture. I felt like I study a lot more listening to the person talk while I'm actually focusing on my notes, rather than having to force myself to sit down and like actually look at my laptop and listen to them through the audio version. But it just showed how unprepared the university was to deal with something like COVID.
100%, and then they started to use different software to try and counteract that. It's been a lot weird, and it's been really weird, and I don't know if any university could have been equipped for it, though. I don't think anyone was at all.
I even made a joke about it in one of my lectures. It's like one of the lecturers said, "Oh, this is the first time we've ever done something like this, and we're completely unequipped for it. So we're just gonna see what happens, and hopefully we all roll with it." And then one thing I would do to like mock everyone is on the Zoom calls, I would like have a dodgy background.
Like most people on meme pages and stuff like that, some notable characters in the background.
Yeah, my favorite was the black guy with the giant wang.
Oh God. Oh God. Just to piss. Did people actually see that?
Yeah, they
Did people
did.
actually notice that? How long did you have it up for, though?
A good solid 5.5 minutes.
Oh God.
It was a really boring lecture. I just thought, oh, I may as well spice up because it was towards the end and there was a complete lack of people in the lecture. That's the thing I noticed, like everyone's, what is it, at the start of COVID, everyone's positivity was like peaked in the first week and everything just like dropped off. Like I remember in the first week everyone was just saying, we're all in this together, 10 push-ups, tag 10 people.
They started out all kinds of weird, strange trends. Like even with the celebrities doing the
Singing.
singing, and then all those kinds of posts. And it was really, really strange. I know. I remember, like, even it was getting to a really boring point during like a Zoom call and that. And I was just like, all right, I'm gonna get Domino's. And I got some Domino's. I came back with a Domino's thing, and I turned off my webcam, and I was just eating a pepperoni pizza. Oh no, beef and onion. Sorry, beef and onion. I've got to be historically accurate. It was beef and onion. What were your main kind of like successes at uni for your bachelor's degree? What do you feel would be your main successes?
I felt personally the biggest successes was the discipline of being in uni. For those who really know me, know my sort of like know my background and all that, and it's that I basically have been working jobs ever since I was like 13 years old. So at the start of uni, I was already I sort of had a job, but it wasn't a big one. And then I started getting into the entertainment industry basically when I was like into my second semester, and then into my second year at the start, I got a job working for TNT, and then that's when things started to really kick off. And then plus towards the end of my bachelor's degree, I started working in the UFC gym. So for me, really, it wasn't uni itself. It was just the discipline of being there and willing to educate yourself.
You were doing the kids' party here as well,
yep
weren't you?
yep And so I basically had, throughout the duration of uni, I had most of the time I at least had two jobs throughout the whole thing. A weekday job and a weekend job.
So you're used to that kind of income that was coming in.
Yeah, so basically the thing is, university is not cheap. We can agree that it's
No, not at
definitely not
all.
cheap. And how it works in my family is my parents have sort of brought me up to sort of pay your way, because personally my parents, I don't believe they ever went to university. So, and my dad left school when he was really young. I think he was about 15, 16, and started doing his apprenticeship. So the sort of attitude in my family was, look, you got to get a job and you got to learn to understand it.
100%, yeah.
And personally, one thing I learned is, I know it's a weird thing to say, but when I was in the first job I ever had was, I worked in KFC, right? And the I actually believe I learned more important life lessons in a KFC than I did at university.
Hell yeah. We haven't even got sponsors from KFC yet. don't defame KFC on this podcast, though. You know what? KFC's not going to hit you. I'll hit you. I love KFC. Yeah. I love it. Don't you dare talk smack about KFC. Right now, you censor your words very, very much.
Okay. Okay. Well, one thing I've got to give a shout out to KFC in a loop because that's where I started. But the reason why it was so important to work there is because one of the most critical skills I believe every human being should have is being thick-skinned.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of kids our age, but well, 21, I mean, we're 21, but yeah. I feel like a lot of people our age, even some people older than us, just aren't
thick-skinned. Equipped for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like,
if you work in any kind of retail or like hospitality job, yeah, you meet the craziest, kookiest people.
Oh, shout out to the people right now working in retail and hospitality, because those people
we know quite a few that listen, and they see all kinds of crazy people that come in. Like, if it's not criminals, it's crackheads. It's some people that are just damn right nasty, and they'll throw everything except the kitchen sink at you.
And then it's just being able to deal in situations like that, being able to take that kind of negative energy and that criticism, just take it on the chin and just get on with your life. Well, I feel like a lot of kids these days at university felt like they're supposed to, like, you know, change the world just because somebody didn't say something nice about them.
And they'd rather not have to deal with it rather than have the strength to cop it and then just not be affected by it, or be affected by it and then just going, hey, I can deal with it later. Yeah. I'll get on with the task I have at hand.
Yeah. So it's like this. Here's one of the reasons why. And I know there's going to be a little bit of criticism for saying this, but I just got to get it off my chest, because it's one of the things I didn't really like about university. Mm. And that's the concept of safe spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So look, I'm not bagging on anyone in particular, but when you're in the real world, there aren't any safe spaces. When I was in KFC, when I was putting up with some dude who was like coming in drunk, and I have to try and get him out of the fucking... I would have to try and tell him to leave, or try and call the cops because somebody potentially was trying to rob us, or somebody started throwing stuff. You know, I wasn't allowed to go into a room where I can just sit down and feel safe or just not be able to deal with it. I had to take that, like, full on. Like, I had to deal with that head on. I had to learn to deal with conflict. And that's probably one of the skills that was most invaluable, is being able to deal with stressful situations like that head on. Now, in university, if you actually, there's places where you can go and you can't really say certain things, and you've got to tell them, you know, this is a safe space. You can't say this. You can't do this. You know, everyone's meant to feel included. Those I actually believe weaken people.
I feel they're very good natured at heart, though. Yes. There's certainly a good nature to them. And I think I have mixed feelings about it, because the safe spaces, I think, are fine. I just think, and it's fine at a university level, because it's a learning place sometimes. You know, you never know some people's experiences. Maybe they do need a safe space. You don't know what they go on with. But when you have them in maybe like a workplace or somewhere else, you kind of have to learn to... You're kind of like halting them for like learning some certain things. I'm fine with having safe spaces at uni and things like that. It's just because there is a good nature behind it. You're not doing it to be nice. You're not doing it to be rude. You're doing it to just help people that are in need and things like that. But you just need to understand that there's going to come a point when you are going to have to not need that safe space anymore. If you continue to need that safe space, you're relying on it. If you happen to need the safe space at that time, I'm cool with that. And you progress. The thing for me is that if you want the safe space at uni, perfectly fine, or in the workplace, you know, it's all good. But if you continue to rely on that, it means you're not moving forward and you're not progressing. Yeah. If you do need that safe space at that point in time, that's all good.
So as long as it doesn't create that dependency.
As long as it doesn't create dependency, because that means you're not having a rest. You're taking away the stimulus that you're not happy with.
Yeah. Rather than actually thinking of a solution to actually like deal with the conflict.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like safe spaces actually do have a place. They definitely do have a place, because when you have a safe place, you actually get a breather from things hitting at you. And then when you get a breather, you can think clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have a solution, and then you never have to come back to that place anymore.
Yeah, just like going back to when I was working, like, you know, whenever a situation like would happen, and I'd have to complain, I would have to go to the manager. Basically, he would just give me my paycheck and show me the door.
Yeah,
and it was always the same. They would always say, "Look, if you're not happy,
they're pretty heartless."
I don't know, but they would say, "If you're not happy, you know, the door's right there, and you have the right to leave." And it was the same. That's just a philosophy that's just followed me throughout my whole life. You know, when you're in an environment like that, you've got to adapt. You've got to like learn to deal with it and process it. And then that's how you grow, because you're not in your comfort zone. Because I've heard very few people in life, their comfort zone has got something like screaming at them because they didn't get their fucking nuggets.
Yeah.
I got to tell this one time. One time I was working in the KFC and this dude, he literally jumped over the counter, stole a bucket of chicken and tried to jump through the drive-thru and jumped into himself. And jumped into the window and knocked himself out.
While you were working.
Yeah, well, Greg, and the bucket of chicken just went flying up in here.
I remember when I have a few stories from KFC. Actually, I had one from the other day when I had to go to I went to KFC to go get some food, and they said, "Oh, don't worry, the nuggets are taking a while." And I was like, "Okay." And then I pulled up half an hour later. I'm like, "What? How many nuggets you making in the bag?" I'm expecting a few crates. And then I came in and then they were like, "Oh, sorry." And I was like, and then they just started calling out my order. I was like, "Bitch, they forgot about my order." And then they gave us some, and she was just like, "Oh, just cause you've been waiting, we gave you some free food." Gave me half a kilo of potato and gravy. Oh. Who eats a half a kilo? How is that even a thing? Do you know what I did? I had a look at it. I was like, "Nah." So I gave it to the dog, and then the dog would just sniffed it and was like, "Bro, why, this ain't dog food. I don't want this." Had another sniff, because I was like, "Oh, come on, have it." Had a little lick. I went, "Shit, this delicious." And went at it, ate it in 30 seconds. Honestly, ate half a kilo and then just went, "Oh, I go to sleep now." I'm like, so that's why after potato and gravy, I'm so sleepy. The dog's on the side, on its side, just going, "I should not have ate half a kilo of potato and gravy. All this mystery food."
Ugh.
Anyway,
jinx. back to UWA, man.
Yeah.
I want to say, what were some of your biggest successes and failures?
I'm not done yet, because I've still got a bit of practice to do that I'm super excited for at the UWA gym. And then, what would be my main success?
So what were some of your successes and failures in uni?
Successes and failures. Because I'm not done yet. I've still got to do my prac at uni that I'm super excited for. And that's going to be a lot of fun, because it's really good to be hands-on. So I think the main success would be just getting to a point where I'm comfortable being in the gym and talking to people is fine. It's more just having the knowledge and the information. I think the main success was just getting into uni, because it was kind of rough to get into uni in the first place. Getting better at like studying and things like that, and working to my strengths. Failures. I think my main failure was not so much uni related, but this probably does relate to uni. Wondering what's going on with other people and comparing yourself to others and how everyone else is going and what other people are saying about what, and you just got to zone in and just think about what's going on with you and just not care so much. Don't care about what other people are saying. Don't care about what they're doing. It doesn't matter. You literally need to focus on you and what is important for you at this stage. Yeah, don't care about what other people are doing right now. Focus on what you do. And I think my main success, actually, one of my successes was probably because I did a different major beforehand from my first and my second year. And halfway in my second year, I was reading my friend Sam's notes, who's a med student. And I was reading, and he was doing physiology, and I was reading it, and I was going, because he was going, "Oh, it's really rough. There's a lot of things to remember." And I was reading it, and I was like, "This is interesting. this is really interesting. This is when I was doing my exercise physiology unit. I was like, this is so similar, and I love that unit.
Mm, that was a good unit.
It was a good unit. Now, I switched the next semester. Oh, my grades went up so much better. I was actually so passionate about it. So I think the main success was actually figuring out what I was passionate about, even at uni, and if I wasn't happy with it for like a considerable amount of time. Don't be too flippant that you just hate it and then you move on.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the things I wanted to bring up for future uni kids. There's a lot of kids that are basically going to uni and they're probably thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I don't know what I'm going to do with my future. None of us do.
Like, no one knows. No one does.
Well, some people know exactly what they want from a certain point for a certain amount of time.
That changes.
Yeah, it changes.
Everything. It all changes.
But if you could go back in time right now, back to when you were 18 years old, in year 12, and you told yourself all the things that you did today, would you believe it? I certainly wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, that's the point. You never know what you're going to do. And that's why you kind of just need to go with the flow.
Yeah.
Going with the flow is the main thing.
So there's two things I want to just say to them. All the future uni students out there or kids basically about to graduate high school this year. When you're out of high school and you don't know what you do, I want you to try new things. Try things. Because for me, when I got out of university, I didn't want to go to university in the first place, but I went to university and I just tried doing sorts of things. And then when I was in university, I thought, oh, okay, maybe I'm pretty good at this. I should keep going. And then I realized somewhere down the track, you know what? I think I'm a pretty good public speaker, you know, and I like to write jokes. I like to talk shit. So let's give stand-up comedy a try. You know, and then there's another thing is like, you know, I like coaching people. I love fitness. It's probably one of my biggest passions, you know.
Yeah.
Let's go try being a personal trainer. You just got to take that first step. You just try something new. Like we didn't even, it's like this podcast, for example.
Well, I was about to say, if you'd never gone to uni, we wouldn't have met.
There you go.
You wouldn't have learned these other skills and you wouldn't have gone to uni. Yeah, we encourage you to do a lot of new things because sometimes when you start just the principle of trying new things, like I've never had mushrooms before, I've never had beef before, you've never had noodles or ramen. You go to a new ramen joint, you meet new people that are going to be your friends, you learn new stuff. Like sometimes just the instance of just trying out new things as just the principle that leads to new things, because you would speak to that a lot with your public speaking skills, us talking a lot about comedy. And then it led to you doing, you know, some comedy bits just as you're not doing it to become the next Bill Burr, but you're doing it as a personal challenge to yourself and just fun. Same way this podcast is just a bit of fun.
Yeah. The second thing I like to tell everyone is just embrace uncertainty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like being uncertain, like one of the legit fears that people say they're scared of the most is fear of the future, fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just better. Sometimes it's just best for people to just embrace the unknown. Embrace every possibility that could happen in the future whenever you succeed or fail, basically. Because it's not worth losing breath over or wasting precious time.
Losing sleep over. Yeah. Nothing to lose sleep over.
Definitely not. Because if you spend so much time worrying about the future, basically you're going to lose complete touch of the present.
Mm.
And that's really what matters most of the time. So those are the two things I just wanted to like give us a send as a message to the future students of UWA.
Yeah, I would add to a point, because a lot of any academic records like how well you do on exams and how well you do in tests, I would say the same way we said do what you're passionate about and find out what you're passionate about, the principle is finding what works for you. That goes with also studying and doing well.
Mm.
If you're a visual person, you get the most amount of flashcards out there. If you're an audio person, record yourself reading your notes and listen to it. You need to find what works for you. If you really like question and answers because you feel prepared for tests and things like that, it works for most people, actually. It's actually a really good tool, question and answer, like practice booklets. But if that's what works for you, you do that. And if anyone says it's silly or something like that, it's just because they can't relate, because it doesn't work for them.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means they can't relate.
So what works for you, Jack, then, when it comes to studying?
I would say I like a bit of repetition. I like rewriting my notes. And as I rewrite my notes, I'm not writing out da 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 da. I recall on it, but I make my notes more and more concise to the point I could fit it on a shorter number of pages.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one is writing your notes as practice questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you automatically, you're able to read through your normal notes and read through the lectures and all and things like that and the course material. And then you look at it and you have to think, what could they ask me? Not look at what is in practice exams, because most likely they're not going to feed you a question. Look at what it is. Think what could be a possible question. You write that down. You write out the answer for that as an open book, and you write your notes like that. And then gradually you should need the answers less and less, so that when you're doing your questions, you feel totally comfortable to do so. Yeah, I would find that. What works for you?
What works for me is basically I can't literally just sit down and start writing because my mind just starts wandering. So I feel like I just have to be listening to something to be in the moment.
You like to listen to other podcasts or things like that. That helps you out. It's almost like just like white noise, isn't it?
Well, the reason why is because it gets me in the focus, because my mind just starts thinking because it's not really 100% focusing on the notes, and you can only focus on the notes for so long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the reason, again, is just with repetition. You know what I mean? Mm. And just constantly rewriting. So I write everything, I type everything, and then I put it on palm cards as well. And then when that's done, basically, normally I just like highlight the key points and then just rewrite them one more time.
Yeah.
And so I've done it so that way before the exam, I've literally written everything at least four times, copy every diagram. And when it comes to listening to things, it doesn't even have to be a podcast. It can just be on Spotify. Sometimes I just just type in study music, and it just gives you this like really calm and relaxing.
A lot of the time it's like rain and things like that. Yeah. Things that like that, storms, wind, things that's in the background that has some sort of tempo for you to like just have like just tune out for. I want to bring up a story. we'll leave it to a different time when we first met, but I would like to bring up when you became an adult performer as a stripper. You told me about a month or two before you publicly announced it.
Yeah.
I pissed myself laughing so much. And you said, don't tell anyone. You cannot tell anyone. Nobody knows. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had to keep that. And it was like the biggest news. Not the biggest news. It was hilarious. It was so funny.
It was funny.
It was so funny. And I had to stay quiet for 1 or 2 months of you being a stripper. And you had to use code words when you were talking to them, like, oh yeah, got a new gig, and it's like performing in front of people, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And in my head, he's like, he takes off his clothes, you idiot. How many? You were using little code words.
I like to
for what
with
you were,
people. I like to test them. Yeah. I like to see how much they're really paying attention. And I'm pretty sure I told you right in the middle of a lecture as well.
No. You told me us when we were eating. I think when we
I told you in a lecture.
You told me in a lecture, and you know I don't. What? And I, what was it?
Okay, so here's how it happened. I was texting somebody who I met, who I came to the show, my first show.
Uh-huh.
And then there was it was on a Monday.
Oh,
and then
I
you're like, you, who are you texting?
I said, who, bitch? that's where I came from. And then
I pull out my phone and I show you the photos from the weekend. I'd be like, yo, I did this.
And I was like, what are you doing, Joe? And then afterwards we had lunch. And that's when you told me.
Yeah.
That's when you told me properly. You were just telling me. You just showed me some pictures or something. And then when we were eating lunch, you went, oh, did like some guys like offered me a job. Now I'm working for this company. And I was like, in my head, I was like, fair play. On the outside, I was laughing so much. It was so funny. Especially since it's even funnier because it's the same way like you're in assembly or something and someone tells you a funny joke and you're like, and you're trying, it's funnier because you can't laugh, right? I couldn't tell anyone. And then when you were talking bareface and you were like straight face talking to people, I was the one walking away because I was pissing myself laughing. That's what was funny about it.
It was fun times, man. It was good. But the thing is, one of the reasons why I didn't actually tell anyone is because I had to audition. So really what happened was, like, when I started working as a male entertainer, I did a couple of shows And I was like, damn, this is so much fun. I actually really think I could do something with this. So then what happened was, I think it was the second or third day after I told you, but the first person I told was my little sister. And I was like, because in the house, like when it comes to keeping secrets, my little sister is the best. And she, you know, and she was definitely someone I could trust. So when the whole thing went down, she was like, yep, cool. She didn't even act surprised.
Yeah. And then you told your parents and that, and what did they say?
So I told my mom. Mom thought I was joking. Uh-huh. And Dad was drunk at the time, and he was like, yeah, that's my boy. He's finally getting some.
Oh, God. Yeah. Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm lucky. The reason why I love my parents so much is because I was kind of shitting it trying to tell them, because I thought, what are they going to say?
For sure.
Because I went to, like, Trinity College, which is a big private school, basically. Mm. And they kind of, you know, it
doesn't really fit, and it's just like private school. Yeah. Young kid, had a lot of education, sporting background, going to university, and then there was male entertainer. And it didn't really work because a lot of people, they always said, oh, you know what, stuff these exams, I'm going to drop out and become a stripper. You did your exams and were a stripper at the same time.
True story. I actually used to do jobs before the exams and literally rock up, do the exams, still in my top shelf clothes. And then I would leave the exam and go do another job.
Yeah, you could tell because your eyes were bloodshot and you had these big red weed eyes because you'd been slamming so much caffeine and you had no sleep.
Yeah.
Because they're really not late gigs, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. Some of them actually were really late gigs. But the reason why is, for a moment, before I started working in TNT, that was my only income.
Yeah.
And it was just on the weekends as well, and the exams on the weekends. So that's like, well, if I ever got a job on the weekend, I just can't miss it because that's all the work I'm going to get for a little bit. And then that's when I got into TNT, it was a little bit of a breather. I mean, it was hard work, but it was still a breather.
Yeah.
But for me, it just like kind of like opened my eyes to the world, you know, and really just hustling and making money on the weekend and doing whatever it is you can to pay the bills. I mean, there's no set way to life. There's no one wrote the book on life.
No.
You know what I mean?
You do whatever you really need to get on. And it's not a bad gig.
Yeah.
It's not
a bad gig. Well, one thing it did to me actually was it kind of like desensitized me to going to clubs and parties.
Because you weren't really like that. Hey?
Yeah.
I'm not like that. To be honest, if people invite me to parties, I'm like, probably won't go.
We're kind of introverted. I mean, I would say we're definitely extroverted to some degree, but we're more introverted than extroverted, would you say?
I like to think that we're cut from a similar cloth in the fact that we're pretty introverted. We like to keep to ourselves pretty private. Mm. However, when we're in good company and we're like comfortable with each other, that's when we're extroverted and that's when our like big happy confidence and character comes out. Mm. That's probably why this works so well, because if I was in a corner on my own, it would be a terrible podcast.
Yeah, totally understand that. Definitely. Well, because anyway, going back, like when I was working there, and what it kind of, because talking about introvertism, is that how you say it?
Don't know. I can't tell you.
Talking about being introverts when we go to the clubs, you know, it's not, we never really felt compelled that we had to go out really or anything like that. And sometimes we'd go, I went to a couple of uni parties myself, but I didn't feel like, you know, you need to go. I'd just go because it was in the moment that I wanted to go. Mm. There was one, so in my whole time in uni, I went to two balls and two festival style parties.
Yeah.
And really, I actually found the balls like the best experience. So the couple of kids.
You got a few funny stories from the balls are the most notable ones anyway.
Well, the reason why I liked it I found it was funny because when kids get to uni, this is the first time the parents have just like let the gloves off them, you know, taken the cotton wrap off, and the kids just like, they try to abuse the power as much as they can. They get exposed to things like alcohol and drugs for the first time, and because they don't know how to like deal with that stuff, or they don't know their tolerance to any of it, they just go haywire.
Yeah, they're just young kids, but they've obviously hit that mark a bit too late compared to everyone else. So
us
more not mature people, but people that have experienced it a bit earlier on, we look at them and we're just like,
So one of the things one of the experiences I had was when I went to a ball, and I rocked up at like 8, maybe 9 o'clock. But I know that the reason why was that the thing itself had only gone on for an hour. And by an hour, security was literally carrying people out of the room already.
It's a free bar, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a free bar. Kids were just abusing it. But the beer was mid strength, and the wine was just like your standard white wine.
They don't let you have full strength.
They didn't have any full strength. So when you're a mid strength, you know, and it's mid strength pints. Still, that's a couple of standard drinks. But with mid strength, like there's guys who I know, and I'm sure there's a lot of men out there that can go on mid strength all night. You know what I mean? And for the kids, some of them are so small. Some of them are so tiny. You know what I mean?
Oh, they weigh like 50 kilos.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the girls probably outweigh them. And like, when they start drinking pints and that, they're like, oh.
Yeah. So one thing that actually ended up happening was there was a lot of kids. I don't know what was going on in the moment, but kids were getting carried out by security. And I was like, what the fuck? Are we super late or something? Is the party almost over? And they're like, no, it's just an hour in. So I get in there, you know, I had a drink. With my day at the time, and then we were having a good time, and then one thing I started noticing, bodies were piling up on the floor. And I just hit in, and then in my head I was like playing that song, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor. It was like that song from Drowning Pool. And then
you sent me Snapchats, actually. You sent me Snapchats joining, and you were like, look at these lame people that are like already had like 1.5 standards, and they look like they're concussed. Like they're already drunk after like.
People were dropping on the dance floor, and like there was a sniper in the building.
They haven't even finished their pint, and they're already on the floor.
There was this one chick who I'm not sure what she was on, but I would like to believe it was acid. Mm. She went around biting people. And then the security just go, and she was like trying to talk to these one people. So she was trying to talk to this group of people, and there was this female security officer just literally came into the room, and she was pissed. She was so pissed. Or she, maybe officer. She was maybe she, or she was the manager. One of the two, but she was dressed in a suit, so that way I know she meant fucking business. Okay. And she was yelling at her friend to get her out, otherwise she was going to call the cops, because basically biting is like assaulting someone. And then and then there was this one, and she just turned around, and there was this one guy sitting on a chair, and she just grabs his hand and just takes a big chunk into it. Like,
no way.
And then the guy just literally, her date's like, that's it, we're getting out here, picks her up. Well, she's still got her teeth in the other guy's arm.
No way.
Yeah, and I went up to her. I was like, are you okay, man? He goes, I don't know. He's got like this big red gash and chunk in his arm. And I was like, Jesus, is it the zombie apocalypse? Or was she just on some really stepped on shit? That was my story. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. Don't do drugs, kids.
It sounds like, what was that drug that everyone was really scared of? And it was like the zombie drug.
Oh,
I can't remember what it was.
I know what you're talking about. It was a synthetic drug that hit the streets for a while.
Yeah, it was like a bath salts kind of thing. Yeah, you were saying it makes you turns into World War Zoo or something. That's what it sounded like. She probably took that
shit. That shit was lethal. That shit's actually lethal. A lot of people die from that. It was cooked up in some dude's bathroom.
Yeah, and most likely.
Oh, anyway.
Had to make its way to...
Look, if you're going to party, know your limits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that comes with experience. Some of them don't have that experience, so you can't hold it against them. They don't have the experience, so these things happen. It's just funny for those looking in sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, what was the biggest overriding... So what was the biggest lesson you learned from university?
Biggest lesson?
Because for me personally, education should be something that should follow you throughout your whole life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, once you get to school, I know some kids are, like, burnt out at the end of school. I get that, and then they get to university, and they go for at least 3 years, and they feel even more burnt out. But the thing is, you throughout your whole life, you should be constantly trying to educate yourself. Because we're in an age right now where there's just an unlimited amount of information. And it's increased, not even that, but the information is increasingly becoming artificial. One thing I'm always telling everyone is that you should always be trying to learn something new or better, further educate yourself every day. And it's like the podcasts you listen to, you know, it's the books you read, it's the TV shows.
I listen to a lot more podcasts. I will try and listen to stuff that's not just for the sake of listening. I'll try and have something that's a bit more productive and things like that.
Yeah.
Biggest thing I've learnt, kind of just working on your own internal world, working for what works for you, and everything needs to be the same way your workout or a diet is specific to someone is the same way you need to treat your education. The way that you educate yourself is needs to be specific on how to you, how it works for you. I read a bit more. I know that I've got a very long list of books that I need to read. I know you do. And I'm continuing to do that to further educate myself as well. I find the biggest thing is probably no one's going to baby. The biggest thing I've probably learned is that everything needs to be specific kind of to you, to your own internal world, because if it comes to like a workout or a diet plan or your routine, it has to be, everything is specific to you. It needs to be that way because it just won't click that way. And I'm continuing to kind of educate myself with books on top of the things I read, and just improve, because you should always continue to educate yourself. When you're a doctor, you should continue to read and add to that. You should continue to better yourself, even if it's, you don't have to be ballistic about it. You could just be reading a book every month. It needs to just be something small. I think that's important to keep doing that. And I find a lot of this information is pretty good because it flows into stuff I'm passionate about in the first place.
So what you basically, what you input into your, like, into your body, into your mind, is so critical.
It becomes your internal world.
Yeah.
It becomes your internal world. The bit of information that you let stick in your mind becomes your internal world. And that's huge. That's huge because that'll affect your thoughts, affect your feelings, it'll affect everything. And sometimes it's important to remember some small pieces of information that wiser people than you know. And sometimes it helps you out of tough situations sometimes. And also, don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid to talk to friends that will probably sympathize or empathize, or talk to your parents. Your parents, you know, have probably been in tough situations before, and they'll help you out as well if it comes to studying or exams, because I know exams are such a big thing. I know I was pooping my pants earlier with Examplify, which was the online exams, because of coronavirus.
You had a bad experience with that, didn't you?
I did have not the best experience with that. You know, I was having trouble going through the service, and that's over now. We've talked about quite a bit about student life and uni life, and we only touched on a little bit as you as an adult performer. I think we can probably talk about that a different podcast and just kind of center it around that. Maybe even a story of when the only gig I've came with Joe to. The only gig.
And that's a story for another time.
That's a big story. But for now, let's finish off with a silly story you've probably got from your stripper life.
Well, first of all, the one you just referred to specifically, the reason why we need to sort of hold off to that, because I think we might need to get clearance to tell this.
We might have to get a bit of clearance.
Because it's a very high profile story. And trust me,
high priority kind of person.
Yes, and that's why. But anyway, to finish up the podcast, to tell a quick stripper story was, I think one of that I like to tell everyone was, I think it was about over a year into the job when I was starting to get used to it. I was starting to get a bit of stage time and, you know, understand the routines. One of the biggest jobs we ever did was at this, basically this nightclub, and the nightclub was in the city, and I'm not gonna say the name but that we did such a good show because it was towards the summer and the crowds were just getting bigger and bigger because towards the summer more people were going out, and the show was great, you know, everything was on point, all the guys like performed to the best of their ability, you know, everyone was looking good. And then right at the very end, you know, where we do the final bow and then everyone introduces everyone and says, you know, here's what, make some noise. And then we all do one big final bow. Now, towards the end of the crowd, like, I could just, like, see there was this girl and she was, like, doing this weird, like, jerky motion. And I'm not quite sure what it was. And then because the lights were literally so bright, you can't really see that far back.
Yeah.
And then just as we were just like easing away from the stage. I saw like this projectile just like flying towards me, and I and I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but then I realized, I realized this chick had basically taken off her underwear and thrown them on the stage.
Oh, gross.
Now,
dude.
just as it was happening, time was slowing down insanely, so I felt like I was sort of in the Matrix.
You're in the Matrix.
I was in the Matrix. And then just as the underwear was like flying towards me, there was just like this, there was a abstract in the color. And I just thought to myself, what the hell is that? And then I just realized as the pants were getting closer and closer to me, I noticed there was a dark spot.
Oh, that's disgusting.
So just as I was about to, like, you know, just try and see if I can catch it, I saw the dark spot. I was like, oh, shit. And did, like, a Matrix style.
Yeah, definitely, oh, shit. That's disgusting. That's
did a Matrix style bullet dodge. And then those dirty underwear literally just hit the ground. And the guy next to me basically was like, holy shit, some chick just threw underwear. Holy shit, some chick just threw underwear. I'm like, dude, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Now I'm just having a freak out. I'm like, don't touch that. Don't touch that.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And then we just left them on stage and we just walked off.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to pick up. Oh, yeah, I'll drop this off at the laundry, pick it up at 9 a.m. next, like, tomorrow. That's disgusting, dude. That's so gross.
That was a typical Saturday night.
You're going to tell me off air what club this was, because I'm not even going to walk near that.
Oh,
club
the
anymore.
Club's not there anymore. It's gone.
Oh, good. Probably had, you know, it probably had, because it had, you know, dirty undies everywhere.
The dirty laundry.
Oh, okay. That's that.
There wasn't a reference. It was just saying it was dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Alrighty. So we're just finishing up the podcast today. I hope you guys enjoyed some of our silly stories. Because to wrap it up, we mainly just talked about university, what things work for us, and a little bit of Joe's, you know, background as a dual performer, as he is still currently. And a bit of silly stories he still has. Anything to add, Joe?
Just, yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. You know, just keep listening, keep looking out. We're trying to keep these going. We're trying to keep pumping out content for you. And also, please, just give us some feedback as well. What do you want to hear? Like, we're an MMA podcast. We'd like to talk about fighting. But we also want to be a podcast for fans, basically for the fans. We want to know what you want to hear.
So as you would see on an Instagram, we say one MMA hour, one everyday hour, and we try and do that once, like an MMA hour and an everyday hour every week. So the MMA hour will be usually about the UFC, boxing, anything fighting related, but the everyday hour can be anything we want. We'll usually think up a topic, and we obviously have a lot of stories to tell, as you can see, and some things we're probably holding back. Because we might need a green light on certain things. But if you want any particular topics or anything like that, DM us, send us some questions on Instagram, comment and like on our YouTube videos, anything like that, you just let us know, and we can bring it up on the podcast. We don't mind at all. So that's Jack and Joe from the Everyday Hour on the Last Set podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. See ya.
Catch you later, guys. All the best.
Peace.